Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
That time of the week where we put your health and medical questions to our GP, Dr. Niall Breen from Portmarnock GP Clinic is with me in studio. Niall, how are things?
Doing great, thanks.
Yeah, all good. Right in the middle of that sort of, I suppose, cold flu season, are we? We're peak.
Yeah, a busy period now. Yeah. But it's all good. I suppose you could say it's busy 12 months of the year, but yeah. Now is the busy time.
Yeah. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Dr. Niall Breen today. This listener, Niall, is 68. They say they have a brown mark on their arm. It's about the size of a 20 cent coin. They've had it for years. But recently, they've noticed that it's sort of risen a little into a small bump. It gets a little bit itchy at times. The listener thought they were actually bitten by something, but they're wondering, should they be worried?
I don't think I'd necessarily be worried about it. But when it comes to something long-standing like that, that has changed, that probably does need a look. You can get like localized little growths and things like that that can sometimes ulcerate and so on. So that's probably something I wouldn't be overly worried about, but I would get it checked kind of in the next kind of 6 to 8 weeks just to get it looked at by your own doctor.
By your own GP.
Yeah, okay. I would, yeah.
Okay. Another listener says they have dizzy spells. Their doctor took them off their blood pressure tablets. That seems to have fixed the problem, but he's now sending me for a scan. Can you tell me, is that just a precaution?
I would say it probably is. Now, not all scans were created equally. So is that a brain scan or is that an echo test of the heart or is that an ultrasound scanner or what exactly it is? But I would imagine it probably is just to make sure that there's nothing else going on there. They could be looking at the person's brain or at the structure of their heart, but it probably is a precaution.
Just a precaution.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, this texter, Niall, says that they're due to get my wisdom tooth. They cracked it on a lollipop this week, but I haven't been, I've had a toothache for the last week, and I've been taking Nurofen and paracetamol for the pain, on and off, but I'm trying not to if I can. Seems to sort of cause a little bit of an upset stomach, and I'm wondering, is that down to the painkillers?
I'd say there's a good chance. Sometimes when you have something in your mouth, like a toothache or a problem with a tooth, people tend to create a lot more saliva and they tend to swallow a lot of that a lot more, especially if they're indoors a lot. So that can sometimes actually contribute to a bit of an upset stomach in cases like this. But if the person's on anti-inflammatories, they definitely can contribute to it also. So you can get medication over the counter in the pharmacy that will help protect the stomach and the lining of the stomach. So wisdom tooth, I've never had them dealt with myself. Mm-hmm. I know it's painful. So I think this person does need to be on painkillers. So I would probably take something else as well that'll protect the stomach. And you can get those over the counter.
Yeah. Okay. 087 1400 106 if you have a question for Niall today. This listener says their friend has a patchy rash all over his front or the front of his body. Quite itchy, also in his armpits. Also in their armpits, and just says she's 70.
70. OK, so there's a couple of things that could be. We see rashes like this all the time. They're rarely anything overly sinister. What can sometimes happen in somebody of that age group is there's a type of psoriasis type condition that people can get. And it tends to start slow and then get quite florid and quite marked and quite itchy. And somebody like that probably needs a bit of topical steroid. I would go along to your doctor, get that looked at as well.
Yeah.
Alternatives are that you can get rashes for all sorts of reasons, for viral causes. There's a very common one called pityriasis rosea that really comes on the torso, but it's much less common in somebody in their 70s. So even if that person has no history of any skin issues, that's something I would get looked at. Medications would be important as well there. If that person was started on a new tablet or was given a new medication or a tweaking in something, then it's very possible that that could have triggered something as well. So that person needs a bit of a review.
Okay. This listener says they're male in their early 50s. They've almost had a good head of hair, but in the last couple of months, they've noticed some rapid thinning on their crown. Is it likely to be age related or a condition caused by stress? I have felt stress, a lot of stress of late. Is there anything I can do?
It could be a combination of all of that. It's worth getting bloods checked more to confirm that they're normal. So things like your vitamin B12 and your thyroid. But if they're losing hair in that way, it does sound like it's a male pattern baldness. And often using topical treatments don't help enormously. Now, you can get shampoos and you can get things in the pharmacy. There is also a medication that we can prescribe as GPs called finasteride, which can help with hair loss and it can help people to regain hair. It really depends on the person. If it sounds to me like male pattern baldness. It probably doesn't need much extra else looking under the bonnet there. Depends on the person if it really bothers them or if they have other symptoms as well. They did mention that they're stressed.
Yeah.
So it might contribute to it. It might contribute to it.
Okay. So go to the doctor effectively if they are that worried.
I think if they're very worried about it, yes. But the way the person has described it, it sounds like natural part of aging.
That's just it.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This listener says they're wondering, how do you remove skin tags and age spots? Is it by freezing?
Freezing is a really good way to do it, and that's what I'd recommend. So we use a thing called cryotherapy, which is liquid nitrogen, and we do it in general practice. Most GPs will do that. And if you have a medical card or a doctor visit card, that treatment is covered on that. It won't cost you anything. And freezing them is a really effective way of getting rid of them. Skin tags in and of themselves aren't worrisome. They don't have any potential to become a cancer or something like that. But people tend to get them in areas where they perspire. So they get them in their armpit and in their groin and around their genital area sometimes. So for some people, they can be uncomfortable. They can chafe, they can bleed, and they can be embarrassing. So if they're not any of those, I'd be inclined to leave them alone.
Okay.
If they are, then your GP can freeze them off for you.
Is sore?
You usually do 6 kind of blasts or 7 or 8, depending on the size of it. And it feels a bit cold and like a little bit of a sting, but it's usually over in a couple of seconds.
Okay. This listener says their husband has an ongoing blocked nose for the past 6 months. Should he get an allergy test? The GP treated it with antibiotics. He's been on 2 courses and it didn't work.
Allergy test, I wouldn't be rushing to. So there's a fairly decent industry around allergies. I suppose it depends on the person's age. I don't think that was in the question.
No.
People don't, it can happen, but it's rare that somebody will develop an allergy in later life. So what I would be more thinking would be something, not an allergy to something, but something more mechanical, like whether there are polyps in the nose or whether that person has a nasal septum that's deviated or bent one way or the other. So I wouldn't be rushing to spend money on getting allergy testing, but I think somebody to get a torch and have a good look up there and see exactly what's going on, and a trial of a nasal steroid would probably be a reasonable course of action.
So is that a trip to the GP and then referral to an ENT consultant?
Well, we could do the preliminary anyway in general practice.
Okay.
We have the equipment just to have a look up and see exactly. And sometimes you'll see the problem.
Okay. This listener says they've had back pain in the past couple of weeks. They've been to the physio twice. She said, I need to go back to my GP because it's not improving. I'm wondering though, what can the GP do?
So back pain means, again, kind of different things to different people. So for us, we really like to know the pattern of the pain. For example, is it worse in the morning? Has this person been in an accident? Had they had a fall? For back pain, I've seen all sorts of things in general practice for people who have had small fractures because they had a fall that they thought was pretty innocuous and they just went about their daily life. We sometimes see inflammatory conditions like arthritic conditions where the body attacks itself, and that tends to present with a pattern of discomfort in the morning. So we'll often do blood tests, including inflammatory markers, to outrule those things. We'll also examine people and see, is this a pain that could be starting high up and referred down, or is it more muscular? And if it's starting high up and it's like a sciatic type issue, we can sometimes refer for scanning and then we can get
I presume that's what it is. It's probably they need to go to the GP, I presume, to get the referral for the scan. The physio probably can't refer.
Physio can't refer for a scan and they can't do blood tests, but they're very adept at sort of delineating what's going on in a lot of cases. So usually if they think somebody needs a scan, they'll send them to their doctor with that brief because they're very skilled at what they do. So if they haven't done it in this case, it may be that they think it might be something a little bit off-piste or something a little bit different, potentially.
Okay. Yeah, okay. This listener says their son is 12 and suffers from migraines and is much smaller than his peers and brother at his age. He's a lot of allergies, never seems to be operating at full potential. History of celiac in the family, but his blood test came back clear. I'm wondering if you have any advice.
Well, if he had a blood test for celiac, I think it would be important that that blood test wasn't done if he was on a gluten-free diet. So that would be the first thing I'd want to clarify, because that can give a false negative. So some people will eliminate gluten from their diet, get a blood test, and that'll be normal and it won't actually pick up that they have it. The celiac isn't actually that common, so I'd say it's probably not a likely cause. For a child like this, I would like to sort of get their weight and get their height and get the circumference of their head. And we have a thing called centile charts where we can plot those. So then we can actually gauge this child by his peers. So they've collected like lots and lots of data over many decades. So you can say this child is on the 10th centile. So by that, it would mean that there, if he was in a room with 100 children, the same ethnicity and age, exact age, if he was on the 10th centile, he would be bigger than 9 of them and smaller than 90 of them. So it allows us to gauge. So sometimes if we see a big digression, so somebody might be on the 90th centile for weight and the 10th for their height or vice versa, then we can kind of say, well, there could be something going on here. Or if that child is on the 10th for everything, we might say, well, maybe they're just kind of naturally small. There's also a thing that we like to do called the mid-parental height, where we get mum's height and dad's height and we have a bit of a formula and we work it out and then we adjust that person's centile accordingly. So if mum and dad are particularly small, then it might mean that it wouldn't be abnormal that this person might be a little bit smaller.
So this parent should bring the child to the GP, really? Yeah, and get, follow up with this.
Exactly, and get that kind of basic biometric data that we can do in our practice and potentially refer on.
Okay, just finally, my knee has actually, there's a lot of swelling in it just below the kneecap. It's only sore, though, when I kneel on it. It just feels quite restricted. It looks like it's a strange colour too. Nothing actually happened that I'm aware of.
So that sounds like a condition called prepatellar bursitis, which is a kind of a long-winded term really for just the label that we give to that pocket of fluid that acts as a natural shock absorber outside of the joint. So we see it in people who kneel down a lot, tradespeople, people who kind of basically don't wear knee pads when they should.
Yeah.
And it can look a little bit discoloured externally. It can kind of lose a little bit of pigmentation or have some white lines through it. And rest is the main kind of thing there, pain relief. If it was very persistent, I'd consider talking to somebody, but I have never, like a GP or somebody, but I've never referred anyone on the for like a patellar bursitis in their knee, if that's what it is, which is what it sounds like.
Okay. Quite a few questions, Niall, we didn't get to today, so we'll keep them over till next Monday afternoon, though. And the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Dr. Niall Breen, Portmarnock GP Clinic. Niall, thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.